Behold the grace of God. It is great in its revelation, redeeming in its power, and amazing in its abundance. A review of the Bible doctrine of divine grace presents two amazing facets. One has to do with the nature of grace, God dealing in mercy and forgiveness with people who deserve His judgment and anger. The other has to do with the abundance of grace, God being gracious to deal with sinners of all degrees of guilt in all generations of time. It is that second amazing truth, the abundance of the grace of God, to which your attention is directed in this study. Romans 5:17 speaks of the abundance of God's grace in these words, "They which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Romans 5:20 adds this thought, "The law entered that sin might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." The grace of God is in such abundance as to overcome the problem of sin. Now that is no small thing, for the problem of sin is exceedingly great. Sin created a serious offense between God and man. It put man in rebellion against God and constituted him as the enemy of God. For the very nature of sin is rebellion. "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." A transgression of the law of God brings the judgment of spiritual death. The Bible reports, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." God warned from the beginning, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. For the wages of sin is death." The verdict of spiritual death has already been executed against the sinner. Not the worst of sinners only, but the best of sinners also. So hear this solemn declaration of Holy Scripture. "By one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Now spiritual death passed upon the worst person you know, the best person you know, and every person you know. It does not wait until eternal judgment. It is already executed. Yet there is hope. The Bible announces, "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Now the grace of God toward sinners was so great that Christ has redeemed them from the curse of breaking God's law. "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The grace of God was so abundant that it overcame the offense of man's sin, resurrected him out of spiritual death, and gave him eternal life. The grace of God is in such abundance as to overcome the problem of justice. For grace does not mean God is careless toward sin, nor that sin is insignificant. It rather means grace devised a way by which the demands of God's just law could be met, and yet the sinner escape eternal judgment. Now here is the problem. Man sinned. God's just law said that eternal death must be meted out upon the sinner. And yet, God loved man and did not desire to see him perish, but rather that he be saved from death. So how could God continue in accord with his just law and yet forgive the sinner? Well, the answer to the problem is Jesus Christ. The provision of grace and the satisfaction of justice are set forth in Romans 3, verses 19 through 28. "The law addressed all men and declared them guilty before God," verse 19. Man was so weak in his sin that not one person could be justified before God on the basis of good works, verse 20. God devised the method whereby his righteousness could be imputed to men on the basis of faith and not on the basis of obedience, verses 21 and 22. "And thereby, all those who had sinned and come short of the glory of God were justified freely by His grace because redemption is provided in Jesus Christ," verses 23 and 24. God set forth Jesus Christ as the means of expiating sin by His own sacrificial death, verse 25. And since Jesus died in behalf of each sinner, God could be just and the justifier of those who trust Jesus as personal Savior. Verse 26. Salvation, therefore, becomes the gift of God by grace, received through the faith of man, and justice is satisfied while sinners are forgiven. Verses 27 and 28. Now what a blessed summary of the doctrine of divine grace. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. The grace of God is in such abundance as to overcome the weakness of believers. For faith in Jesus Christ ransoms the soul from hell and secures it from heaven, but it does not make the believer immune from problems. There are three great ministries of God's grace in the life of the Christian. First, the grace of God provides strength for the weakness of the believer. His promise is, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." The believer responds, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Second, the grace of God provides supplies for the needs of the believer. The writer of the Hebrew epistle expressed the truth in these words, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." And third, the grace of God provides spiritual growth for the immaturity of the Christian. The Bible counsels, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Every need of the believer is met by the resources of God, and meeting those needs are His acts of continuing grace. The grace of God is in such abundance as to overcome the ravages of time. Consider Ephesians 2:7, "that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." All future ages for all time will have continuing demonstrations of how immense and surpassingly rich God is toward His children. The immense resources out of which He provides for His own will manifest His glory, and the freeness with which He lavishly supplies His children will manifest the magnitude of His grace. Now, time will never reach beyond the extent of God's grace, just as sin has not reached beyond it to this moment. So we might well sing with the words of John Newton, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." The ages to come will witness the grace of God, just as the ages past and present have found His grace sufficient. Behold the grace of God. It is great in its revelation, redeeming in its power, and amazing in its abundance. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ.